over there. We always had
Blog Talk Radio.
We sent that bill over to the Senate. Depending on what happens there, we will keep government open by September 30th.
Republicans are refusing to extend the debt limit. The Treasury Department has warned of potential default on government debt obligations next month without the extension of the debt limit. The top Republican in the House says he's not received a subpoena to testify before the Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy also wouldn't say how he would advise fellow Republicans on how to respond if they are subpoenaed. A suspect will stand trial for an incident last month at the Library of Congress. A judge has ruled Floyd Roseberry is mentally competent to stand trial on charges related to a bomb threat. One of pop music's biggest stars is taking a stand on the planet. Lisa G has details.
I'm not that cut, make your promise that cut, make your girlfriend that cut.
Billie Eilish is encouraging her fans to help her combat climate change. On Wednesday, she participated in the Code Red Congress campaign. She shared a giant red exclamation point on her Instagram story with a link to email Congress demanding to pass the Build Back Better budget legislation. If passed, it will get the country to 80% pollution-free electricity by 2030. Other celebrities on the campaign include Maroon 5 and actress Jane Fonda.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable. So don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see some patchy morning fog, but don't worry, it'll burn off in mostly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures on the cooler side, though, 55, 66 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to about 52. For Friday and for Saturday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures in the low 70s. Saturday night to Sunday, we'll see more clouds arriving and a chance of showers. High temperatures around 65.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
What is this dance in Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yeah, boy, everybody. And that's an original soundtrack that was created for the show. Thank you. I got to say, Nick Johnson, thank you again. We have a long history of people that have supported the show and now the network, people that have come through as interns and just literally blew the doors off of so much of what we're doing today. And I think one of the greatest blessings, and I want to welcome all of you to the show. I think one of the greatest blessings, Benny, and I think we were kind of teasing a little bit about this, is that I've often wondered, you know, how or why things show up in my life. But here's what I don't wonder or question anymore. I don't question them being there. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't question things and people that I talk with, like Kate Kaplan today. I don't question why I'm talking with her today. I know that right now we are going to have a conversation about a powerful, powerful, I want to call it awakening for me today. Because here's the question. Are you a parent? Are you a sibling? And this is near and dear to me. Benny, you know bits of this because I've shared bits of it, but I really haven't shared much about this for the past couple of years. You're a parent, you're a sibling, you're a family caregiver, someone battling mental illness. Yes, let's say the word. Let's say the word. I know that people don't want to say the word. They want us to call it something more positive. But, you know, ask Simone Biles, like, what was she going to call it? What's BB more? No. Let's talk about what it is and Kate's mission to help families that are experiencing childhood mental illness. How do you navigate through the darkness? How do you navigate through the unknown? Look, here's the thing today about the show with Kate. First of all, don't be ashamed. Please, don't be ashamed of what you're going through. I'm begging you that are listening to the show today, please help yourself. Remove the shame from your heart, because these things that happen to families, to us, to what goes on with a range of mental illness, and I've got to thank Kate, and I've got to thank these celebrities, and I've got to thank these people that are coming out. Because today, if you are her, and you are on a mission, and you have been talking with people all over, the one thing you get is that their humanity is what comes first. Kate, thank you for joining me today.
Dr. Pat, as I said, you know what? You've been a long time coming into my life, and I'm so grateful to be here today. Because the wealth of purpose is beyond comprehension for what we are doing today.
Yeah.
And what people need and want.
I'm right there with you. And, you know, it's not a surprise. That was really what was heavy on my heart today was the stigma and the shame and the guilt. And, you know, and it's not really for me. When I think about this, Kate, I want to ask you about this. You have spoken with people all over.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know from your perspective, this is your passion.
Oh.
This is you. You are out there. You are talking to people. You are a 25-year advocate for caregiver. Let's talk about what is the fuel in your heart that keeps this engine going to make sure that we fully understand what this journey is like, but more importantly, understand that we can be in the space of strength and compassion.
You know, Doctor, that's a challenging thought because mental illness is so enormous.
Yeah.
There are so many things that come into play. I will tell you great faith. And I was young to say faith because I was raised Catholic.
Yeah.
I was raised to be seen and not heard. I was raised to, I could eat with the queen or eat with the paupers. But I didn't know me. And that search for me, every single thing that's happened in my life, has told me that somebody's trying, that there's a push going on, because it all correlates. I've had a lot of very unusual experiences in life that have not been of the ordinary when I've had friends who have them. And I've been in a major airplane accident. I've had a man try to pull me into his car at 10, a block from my own house. I had a cancer at 13, which didn't allow me to have children. But in that purpose, at 11, I started praying for twin girls. Now, go figure. You know what? Really? And in that has been 42 years later, I have twin girls adopted. And not only did I have twin girls adopted, but I had the gift of a woman who gave me the privilege to be a mother. I didn't know that mental illness was going to encompass that. I haven't known anxiety, I don't know, depression, I don't know. I had one panic attack in my life running up a hill out of breath. and that was a lot. And I had to stop and just go, oh, my gosh. But, you know, faith, I have to tell you, it all comes back to faith. And my learning through all those experiences and that time that I've devoted to myself to conquer the battles in my mental illness with my children. And I'm telling you, I fought hard. I had more than enough money. I was a millionaire at one time in my own right, and today I work at Lowe's, watering plants, check to check. But the pride I have with the strength of my own two children who've persevered, that too, along with faith, has told me that through their attempts at suicide, running away, demons, 23 living with us, that you know what? There has to be a purpose behind it. It just can't be something that's dumped in you and you go, okay, we're living today. Yeah. It's got the purpose, and that's what it was.
And I love the way you're sharing this because, you know, these are the things that we do not talk about. We just don't come clean. You know, I'm a kid from the Bronx, and, you know, throughout this career doing this work, I had people try to tell me, don't say the word failure, say something else. Don't say the word mental illness. And by the way, don't talk about drug addiction and alcohol addiction. I'm saying, are you serious? My mother was a drug addict and an alcoholic, not by her choice, but to keep her quiet. And, you know, I look back at that now and, you know, understanding a little bit about maybe what she went through. Maybe if she was in the world today, she'd be categorized, classified as bipolar. Maybe. Right?
Well, there's enough to it. And
there's
that's the complication, doctor.
Yeah.
I had to spend all of my money sitting in doctor's office, twiddling our thumbs, got a little girl who's just blissed.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the questions. I don't have the knowledge to say at 3 when she had early onset, you got people in your head? I no more had any idea about schizophrenia than the man on the moon.
Yes.
And nor to say to her daughter, I grew up with everything getting everybody got something equally. I mean, it wasn't one favorite child or the other. But what none of us received in this lifetime was the wealth of the richness of family that we have this great perspective about, marriage and family are going to be this, and we're going to have happy and outings and all. You know what? My daughter Ellen Kate didn't get me. I didn't get to get into the best of my motherhood, and Caroline certainly didn't get to have the best life. But today, time is fair. Time is on their side, and they're still growing, as I am.
I love your story because I love the fact that I'm still growing. Somebody asked me, what is the greatest thing I get out of what I do? I say, I'm a student. I'm going to be talking with Kay Kaplan today. I'm a student. I am so eager to honor people's journey and understand things beyond what you pick up in a textbook. But I got to go back to something you said because it's pivotal for me. Faith.
Okay.
Faith has always been the cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
Of whether or not I get up the next day or I don't. And, you know, I watch the people in my life, as probably you have and yours, and there's so many words that we could pick to talk about this.
Oh, and still say,
exactly.
I went to a party and they said, don't cry. Okay. It's human.
Yeah. But I want to talk to you about this passion and purpose to bring and shed light on this.
Yeah.
Now, I just have to say this. This is something you've been doing way before people at the Olympics can't perform.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Way before you see swimmers break down that shouldn't. In all rights, when you look at them, they shouldn't break down.
Yeah.
Breaking down. What does that mean, breaking down? But you're living this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have been tapped.
Mm-hmm. That's a great word. Yeah.
Somebody came along and said, it's going to be her. We're going to give her this life situation, and we're going to give it to Kate.
But isn't that the fascinating part, Doctor?
Yes.
You know, we're chosen long before. We say, okay, up here, I'm going to come down, and I'm going to do what I need to do. Just give it to me. And they say, that's yours. You go, okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
What was your, can I ask you, because I think it's so important. We're going to talk about what it is you're doing today and the body of work you're doing.
Okay.
And I wonder, and I try to think about what it was like being you and going through this experience and where you got the courage and the insight.
I'm going to say I think it's a little Irish blood in there. I got a daddy from Flatbush. And a mama who came off of, or daddy came off a farm in Bondurant, Iowa.
Yeah.
You know, Irish is Patty's pig. There you go. And
yeah.
I think there's a little bottom line there of perseverance. And a little anger that says, you know what, I'm not going to tolerate it if you don't give me what I need.
Yeah.
And that played a big part in mental illness and being persevering. But you know what the biggest thing was? I had these prayer books. They were my mother and my grandmother's novenas. I can take you to the pew at St. Augustine's Church in Des Moines, Iowa, at 11 that I started praying. When you talk about courage, you know, I had these two little girls. They came to my former husband and I at 4 months. Right out of Milwaukee, and oh my dear God, just you want to squeeze them. They were so cute, but they are the ones that gave me the opportunity that said I had to. I couldn't have my own children, so adopting them was a gift unto itself. Praying for twins since 11, you don't take that for granted. At least I don't take that for granted. I don't take looking up and looking into a tree for granted. Because the texture and the wind and the breeze is giving me something to move with, right?
Yeah.
Anger gives me something to move with. All of that encompassed kept me striving. You know, there was just a... I remember Caroline calling out to me in the middle of the night at 3. Mom, there's a man at the end of my bed. And he told me daddy is, and then he went away. What am I supposed to do with that?
Right.
An experience with it? So the learning curve was with two little girls and I. And how do you give up that? There were days, I promise you, there were days that I just groveled. But you know what? You got to come back to them. You can't leave them. I don't care who it is. And I don't care who it is. The fear in their eyes alone. I mean, I saw my daughter, Ellen Kate, completely shut down and move off. Because schizophrenia took everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And Caroline didn't know what was going on in her life.
Right.
We would be sleeping in a bed, and Caroline would say, please, I have to sleep in the middle. I have to sleep in the middle. Because she thought people were coming out from underneath the bed. She thought that Ellen, Kate, and I had the same guys in our head that she did. But I didn't know the right questions to ask her. I didn't know the right things to look for. So when I'm working with people, and I've worked with people across the ocean, and right here locally, and just communicating those give and takes of this is what I noticed, and where did you go with it? How do you deal with it? You know what? That's the purpose that God gave me. I've talked to people in front of people. Boy, it just warms your heart.
Yeah.
There are resources. Sadly, there are not the resources in Des Moines, Iowa. And I'm going to say that. And I'm sad to say it.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't lived mental illness, you don't know. You know, I took Caroline down to Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Billy Bobo. I'm going to tell you, he was so cute. I called him Bowtie Billy Bobo. He was about this big, wore a bow tie, and he came up to Caroline. She filled out a form before we saw him. We went,
uh-huh, right.
And he said, he looked her in the eye. No computer, no nothing. He looked her in the eye and he said, you know what, Caroline Kaplan, I have never seen someone with schizophrenia like I'm watching you fill out that form and you look me in the eye. He said she was one of 18% in the world high functioning.
Yeah.
You know what kind of a struggle that is for a little girl?
Yeah.
Come out and fight every day just to have a norm? She looks as normal as Patty's pig.
Yeah.
You know what? That thing up here is just jumping all over.
Yeah. But isn't that really, Kate, and I love that you brought this up. What a beautiful story. How honoring of you to really honor the journey of your children in this way. And you just said something so very important for everybody here to see.
Yeah.
On the outside, right?
Oh, yeah.
We had seen this over and over again, especially in our pop cultures with celebrity, of Robin Williams on the outside. You see somebody and you just scratch your head because we don't really see them.
No.
Right? We think we see them, but we don't really see them.
We make a ton of judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. One of my biggest, this conversation is so encompassing because, you know, it draws me 45,000 different places.
Good.
Examples that could be. You know, you sit, God love our teachers. Our teachers and our policemen. I will go to the ends of the earth for them. There are good and bad in everyone, but I will go to the ends of the earth. For those women who have to sit and be expected to know all the parameters outside of just teaching, to the kid who does this. In the back of the class. Bobby, stop doing that. Bobby, don't do that. And the kid's making fun of him. Has anyone ever really looked? That was the greatest challenge into his head and what's going on. That was the greatest challenge for 12 years of education.
I was that kid. I finished
sixth grade.
Believe me, I was that kid. I got thrown out of Catholic boarding school at age six. And, you know,
to this day,
you'll see me. Over time, I've learned what it is that's going on with me. And what I've also learned is the beauty of all parts of who I am. But when Linda comes and she sees a pen in my hand, she knows I'm going to be doing something like this.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Now, you are a lifesaver. And I am looking you in the eye, and I'm saying to you, and we're going to tell everybody what you're doing, but you are a lifesaver. The message you're bringing forward, yes, of course we're talking about saving lives,
yeah.
But there is a human heart, a person inside of the tapping. There's a person inside of maybe the blinking. I stuttered as a kid. Jeez, you know. I mean, can you imagine me? I still stutter a little bit. Benny helps me out from time to time if I have a break between it. But
I have a friend who came to grade school and was a drop-in. He'd come like sixth grade or something.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's fabulously handsome, but he stuttered. And to this day, he remembers one girl in our class who embraced him.
That's right.
And you know what? He is so successful today that he never, ever forgot.
Oh, and I'm the same way. And a teacher, Amy Sarah. I will never forget Amy Sarah.
Yeah.
But what is it about these people, Kate? This is really what I want to talk to you about before we go to break. You know, the words that you bring forward, I want people to know this. For those of you just tuning in, you know, I want to introduce you to Kate. I want to introduce you to Kate Kaplan. And what I want to introduce you to, the forgotten thoughts for you, the caregiver. Here's what we're doing today. And I hope this is one of a lot of things we can do to support Kate. Absolutely, one of the things she and I have in common is faith. Early on, whatever that means to you, that is a powerful word. When you are in faith and gratitude, nothing else can oppose you. When you are steadfast in faith, gratitude, if you are steadfast in that, nothing over here like fear, it cannot get in.
Yep.
And when we get this sense of it, then how is it that Kate, you have been able to come forward, look at your life experiences, but look at the beauty of the children you've been given that has now fueled a passion for you to help all of us understand childhood mental illness, how to navigate through the darkness. And by you sharing this journey, and we're going to talk about what else you do, we have got to now be vocal.
Oh,
we
can't
be quiet anymore.
Off the charts.
Oh, my God. Did you see Aretha Franklin's movie?
Yeah.
I don't want to share, like, the punchline. I watched this movie with my mouth open. mm-hmm. my mouth opened.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give it away, but I watched and I said, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
how many children are there that went through what she went through?
Oh, man.
That's why we can't be silent anymore, because we have to help parents not be ashamed of their children.
And not be ashamed in their own lives. You know, my children and I were asked to leave parties when I knew parents, their kids had very similar issues, because all you had to do was look at them. And they wouldn't acknowledge it. But we were asked to leave children's parties because of it. You know what? That wasn't shame. That angered my, that fed my fuel even harder, because you know what? You're not going to do that to my children. You're not going to do that to individuals who didn't ask for what they got.
Okay.
You know, I was chatting with a guy, and he was schizophrenic. It was down in Florida, and I drove down and camped down there. And he said to me, I said, hey, have you got people in your head? He goes, way too many of them. And he was just filthy. And he said to me, I'm working my way to Iowa. And I said, Iowa, I'm from Des Moines. He said, I'm going to Urbandale. And I said, how are you getting to Urbandale? He said, they told me to walk the back roads. I said, here's my number. I want you, if you ever need anything, call me.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come to Des Moines, more importantly, I want to meet you.
Yeah.
You know where I found him? At Goodwill, working part-time.
Yeah.
He walked 4 months
yeah.
to Iowa because he had children here.
Mm. You see, but this is...
that alone?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How can you not honor a man like that who's just beside himself? He can't even function because of all these people, but the perseverance to see his child in Des Moines, Iowa, Urbandale, Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about this when we come back, because there's something you and me and the folks we're talking about, we have one thing in common. And people often ask me this question, how do you do it? Where do you get that perseverance from? This is a great question, because are a person that has come in the world and the world sees you as less than. You come in the world, if you've got a soldier on your side, if you've got a kid on your side, and what you learn about how to become a warrior in life is invaluable. When we come back, we're going to talk about exactly what Kate's doing. But before we go to break, how do we tell people how to find out more about you, and then how do we get a hold of you? I mean, I want people to go to your Facebook page, everything. Let's tell everybody that now, Kate.
You know what? I have a Facebook page called Kate Kaplan, Health and Life Coach. And I am accessible. I have my videos on there. Some are too long to load up, so I'm learning how to do that. But I have videos that I've shared with people across the country. I have a Facebook page called mentalillnessiowa.com. And I am on LinkedIn under Kate McLaughlin Kaplan.
Perfect. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, here's what I want you to hold in your heart for a minute from Kate. This is what Kate says. I'm Kate, and I want you to know the mental illness and the stigma, the uncertainty, and the great big hole in the universe that it makes in the lives it touches needs to be talked about. One more time. I'm Kate, and I want you to know that mental illness and the stigma, the uncertainty, and the great big hole in the universe that it makes in the lives it touches needs to be talked about. Come back. You're going to find out exactly how she's doing that. Let's take a short break, Benny. Jamie, we'll be right back.
Felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path towards the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ognedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOdnazo.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com. Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join us, Dr. Papasili, in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword or katana. For more information about Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Kate Kaplan is joining me here today. I've got to just say this again, and then we're going to talk about what does a person do. Okay. If you're Kate and if you're me, and somehow you've been tapped, and there is something that you are called to do. Now, I have had readings by Adrian Cobb, a whole lot of people, and they're very clear to me. There's nothing that I can do to not do what I'm doing, to not build the network, to not bring positive thoughts. They're very clear. I just look at them like, okay, if you're Kate Kaplan, or Katie, if you go to the website, you'll see it. A lot of great pictures. I just love Kate. If you go here, read this sentence over and over again. Think about your brother, your sister, maybe your mom. Mm. Think about somebody you know, especially during these past 20 months. I'm Katie, and I want you to know that mental illness and the stigma, the uncertainty, and the great big hole in the universe that it makes in the lives it touches needs to be talked about.
Yep.
Not just a few minutes in People magazine or somebody out there. It needs to be talked about. Kate, thank you for joining me here today because you are out in the world talking about it. I would love for you to share with people what you, the path you're on that you can't avoid. I don't care where you work and paycheck to paycheck. You are not going to be able to not do this.
Oh, no. This is my next 40.
I was homeless at 17, and I got to tell you, I knew at 17 One, I was going to be the best hot dog seller ever. Two, that I was saved by an angel. And three, that there was an unlimited universe. You are stepping into it and doing something that is so needed. Tell people about what you did, what action you took to literally live that statement.
You know, thank you. Let me just regroup here for a minute. After my children moved out, Caroline had been away from home, and she is my daughter who has schizophrenia, had been away a good portion of 3 or 4 years when she was growing up, in her mid-teens. And my daughter moved out, her twin sister, Ellen Katie, moved out at 18. And it was then that I went through my own spiral down. In 2 years, I sold a house, bought a condo, sold a condo, bought another condo, sold another condo. I moved 5 times in 2 years. Hello? Something's loose up there, but something's following a path because there's a cleansing going on, and I just have to move through it.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, people were just, you know, I didn't have a lot of confidence growing up. If I couldn't wear clothes beautifully and go into a room and know everyone's name and connect everyone, which was my gift from my father, and connect William everyone.
William Cleary and his wife, Sarah Ray.
I wouldn't have known what to do. I wouldn't have known how to live. And I think that perseverance is part of the courage because I, in my own way, thought I was never good enough, never smart enough with the kids I was. They wouldn't call me back. I always had to call them, yada, yada, yada. So in this journey, after I saw the strength of my girls and what we'd lived through for 18 years, 23 demons, single parenthood, I knew that I wanted to be rural because they had nothing in regards to mental illness. They had no support. The medicine was way behind. I meet women in a church basement because they are embarrassed to see my truck pull up, and I'm not going without the truck.
Right.
Truck pull up. And, you know, I park it a block away out of a courtesy, and I meet with them in the basement of the church. And it's so important. We have become in a society that just says this.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And it's so, we're becoming more insular all the time. And the thing that frightens me is that we're going to lose even more contact. And I think that's what pushes me with what I gained through my children's illness, with my own wealth of character to come out of it, and the strength that they gave me in this loss of childhood that they experienced. Education was abominable. Medications were never thought twice about.
Yeah.
There was just, every time I asked a reasonable question as a parent, I got this standard book answer. So it was, that wasn't very good for me. So I bought this RV off a guy. I was throwing packages at Christmas on UPS with a guy in Norwalk, Iowa, and he had a trailer, he had an RV to sell. He and his daddy were hunters, and they had it out in the field. And a wonderful man in my life, Gary, got this truck with me, and there was deer blood all in it, and we cleaned this baby up. And I found a guy who painted walls on murals on walls.
Yeah.
He gave him some ideas, and he brought this truck to me, and he painted it for me, and I was off and running. So I would drive, and people would honk, and I'd pull into Casey's grocery stores, and I would just sit. And I have questionnaires that I give people. I say, hey, will you just take 2 minutes and fill this out for me? And they do, and it breaks down who they are by what their little habits are. And in that, it has allowed me to gain information of those rurally who said, what are you going to do with this? And what is? And you know what? I just said, I just want to keep you in my thoughts that when I'm working with people and traveling rural rounds, from northeast Iowa to northwest Iowa, that I can have a collection of information that we can put together and show that we're not alone. I can say, you know, I just met some people and this is so similar. And It's just the old-fashioned talking and learning to talk. And the strength of my growing up and getting stronger all the time and trying to come through this lack of self-confidence, because I am a smart woman and I am very capable. Took me a long time to get there, and I don't care whether people see that or not. It's important that I see it. And you're
right. Yeah, me too. I have the same journey. Yeah.
And you're right. And I've known all along that there was purpose, and I knew that when my girls, the wickednesses. I can tell you stories, Dr. Pat, of schizophrenia that are unbelievable. My daughter, we're living in Colorado, and we have a house that has, we're renting, thank God, we have a house that has a front door with two windows on the side. You go through a hallway and look out the back, and it's the same door with two windows out the back. Well, when there are demons, they say, never have that because it's a place they can slow in and out of.
Yeah.
So my daughter and a sitter are there. I had two standard poodles at the time. And all of a sudden, the poodles are butt-to-butt barking at the doorway. And there are two shadows in the doorway. And I wasn't home at the time, and my daughters were with someone taking care of them. And I came home, and they told me this story. So a year to that date, we left Denver, came back to Des Moines, and my daughter Caroline, who's schizophrenic, as I said, is sleeping in a sunroom off my bedroom so that we can be close and need each other, etc. And we had these bamboo shutters on the window, and as God is my witness, she screams in the middle of the night, "Mother, mother, they're showing me how they die." And there is a noose, a long noose and a short noose, on these bamboo shutters, so distinctly represented that I can see the wrapping, like you'd see in the old South, of a noose coming down, and I shake the shutters, and they blow like this, and then they disappear. As God is my witness, I can tell you any number of those stories. When my daughter lives through that silently, and this is the hint that I'm given from up above that's divine that says, you have got to understand more of this and help. Those are the things that came to me. And you can't share that if somebody doesn't understand it.
Right.
So that's the thing that pushes me on the journey. And in my journey, when I get on the road, I set up this chair and I just wait. I'm in a parking lot at a grocery store in Florida. I'm at a restaurant in Georgia on my way down. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and I've got people coming up to me saying, who did the artwork? Oh, my God. And then all of a sudden they get into, you know, my mom used to suffer something, or I had a brother. And that's how the story starts. And that's where the continuum of needing to be on the road and be public, like you're affording me,
that
works.
And it really all ties back in to what we started to talk about before. You know, there is a purpose and there's a passion, and then there's unwavering faith and the strength we get from that to take the action we need to take. And that's why it was so wonderful when I found out you were joining me today, is because I want people to go and take a look at Facebook. I want them to contribute to your cause. And I think for us, if we are not out there talking about it, and in your case, you are doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're visibly out there, and honestly, the band is awesome. You know, for somebody like me, when I look at an image like that, I'm like, oh, this is, like, amazing.
I was out of San Francisco.
I was just thinking that myself. It kind of reminded me of a time I spent in San Francisco, actually.
Yeah.
What it is what we need now. Mm-hmm. Because this is the time to be bold and not belittled, right? Bold and not belittled.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
right?
Off the charts. And your words are, I want to put them on a T-shirt, bold and not belittled. I'm telling
that's
you.
Right.
Because it's...
put that on your band.
I have these young kids that just came by. And one I know from personal experience, and he knows me, and he was with this group of kids in the walkway walking to lunch from a local high school. And I said to him, hey, I didn't acknowledge him. I didn't let them know. And I said, hey, listen, I've got this picnic table. My dear friend Gary built this picnic table for me that's 12 feet by 5 feet, COVID appropriate. And it took 9 of these kids to move it. So I said, hey, if you guys come, I'll pay you. And they said, oh, no, don't pay us. No. And I said, okay, but if you'll move this for me in my yard, that would be great. So they did. I've got them on video, and I've got pictures of them rallying. So I said, listen, I'm going to buy you lunch. Okay, buy you lunch. And then I said, I'm going to call your principal because you're going to be late, and I'm going to speak with him so nobody gets in trouble. Okay, so I called the principal, and I said, look, there were 9 young men just in my yard, and these are kids that I would imagine haven't always had the easy road. But I want you to know that I made them late, and I'm asking you to acknowledge them at the school for what they just did, and I offered to pay them, and they said no. These are 9 kids that I'm darn sure of don't have a lot of means.
Yeah.
You know what that principal did? He said he walked them to every classroom independently and told the class what they did and that I had called. And he said they glowed. He said they were just so proud.
Yeah.
We need, that's that kind of thing. And, you know, this little guy was this size, my baby finger, the smallest of all of them, never acknowledged me. But you know what? We just don't take the time anymore.
We don't. We don't take the time. And, you know, sometimes you have to be...
I'm shaking it. I get so passionate.
The story is so passionate, and it is a beautiful act. And you know what I love about it is the boldness of this. You know, Gloria Steinem said to me once...
Oh, I met her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She looked at me and she said, cool. Look, you've got to do something outrageous every day, Pat. You have to do something outrageous every day. And I didn't quite understand. It took me a lot of years. But see what you did more than an acknowledgement. What happens when you pay forward moments of self-encouragement, moments of honoring other people, when you paid that forward, it's hard to explain other than the way you just did it. How valuable that is. It's like we were talking about during the break, like the guy in your class that stuttered that remembered the one. It's Amy Sarrow. Amy Sarrow, my teacher. I couldn't put a sentence together on paper. I mean, forget about grammar and punctuation. She made me the president of the future teacher club.
Really?
What?
That's big.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't, I'm just trying to even speak without stuttering. And I found myself, I brought this thing home. It's like a plaque. I still have it, by the way. And I brought it home. And my stepmom just cried. Mm-hmm. Now, she's not crying because it's something bad.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, I understand the depth of those tears.
Wow.
See, you're doing this. Mm-hmm. There's a depth to what you're doing. I want to go a little pop culture on you for a minute.
Okay, good.
Let's go pop culture. One of the most popular movies, I think, pretty much ever, was James Cameron's Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
I know he's redoing it, and I love Zoe Saldana. But there's a moment in the movie that anybody that has never been seen in the world, people like me, growing up, you're not learning different. You're really just, you're defective. You're a defect. And there's a point in the film, and you remember this? And it was a moment, and I think she said something like, I see you.
And that's all it takes.
But that's what you're doing. Because most of the folks that we're talking about, they don't get seen. They don't get honored. They do get belittled. And this has got to stop. We have got to stop. You know why we have to stop? Let me get rolling here. We only have a few minutes left, but I just got to say this. I watch Numbers. Believe it or not, almost flunked out of my graduate program. Even getting into Claremont was a miracle. Getting into that program, that's a story for another show.
Oh, I'm telling you, we got to have it.
I almost flunked out.
Yeah.
But I got help. And Vinda from Thailand came in and saw me in the back of the class, and she asked me to take notes for her, and I did. So I'm sitting in the class, and Dale is up there with all the statistics, and the board is full. And Binda comes in, guy's from Thailand, and she sits next to me and starts to copy the paper.
Yeah.
And she's looking at what is on. She says, "What are you doing?" This has read, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm copying the paper for you. I got this. She said, none of what you have on your paper is what's on the board. I said, it absolutely is. She says, no, it's not on the board. This Vinda moment got me through this year because she looked at it and said, I'll make you a deal. You mentor me on concepts, constructs, theories, yeah, and diagrams, and I will get you through statistics.
Oh.
But she saw me.
Yeah.
And Kate, what you're doing, I can't put into words what that means to people, and you must continue. Tell us how we can find out about what you're doing. Tell us how we can. You must continue this.
I will continue it. What I want to do is be on a platform. And
that to me.
This is valuable. What I am doing is I'm keeping this RV, or I'm going to get a new one because this is about on the plunk. But, you know, it's just the wealth of driving and stopping. You got to ask a question, how are you today? And just sit, and they'll tell you. And what I need is I've had wonderful generosity from three individuals, a family foundation whose daughter had been murdered in Denver gave me money, a personal individual gave me money. I want rural America dealerships to give me money. The rural people have been so good to them and supported them. It's now their time to give back and support. And that's the kind of support that I want.
What do we need to do to get it?
That's a good one, but you know
no,
what?
It's not. It's not. Let me tell you something. Here's what's big. Raising children. Let's talk about big. Epic. Raising beautiful children that the world wants to stigmatize and being on a show like this to talk about them and honor them. That's epic. Raising money.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing before we close?
You can say whatever you, please.
I want to honor my brother who just passed, Kevin McLaughlin.
Mm.
And I want to honor my children, Ellen Kate Kaplan Dalen and Caroline Brady Kaplan, because today, Ellen Kate Kaplan is a trained chef. She suffers from OCD, hypochondria, anxiety, depression. I mean, the gambit. But she has a child, and she is so successful in her own right. I never thought that would happen. She's my little one who just backed out of the world because schizophrenia took so much. My Caroline has persevered. This girl didn't have more than an eighth grade education. I'll say sixth grade education. She says eighth. And I honor her every day. She has fought. She has tried to cashier. She's worked at all these different jobs, done it to get it on her own, but the damn anxiety just won't let her have it.
I know.
And the medications. Medications are a thought unto themselves. I have a video about Carolyn and I talking about medication. Mm. You know what?
We could do a whole show on medication. And, you know, the reason we could do a whole show on medication is because we have real life experience with it.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I love about it.
There's huge needs for that. Sorry.
I want to show you something.
Wow.
I don't think I can get to it. It's over there.
Yeah.
People like me,
mm-hmm,
we need devices and tools.
Yeah.
We need ways for us to really master this. Mary Jane Mack turned me on to a device. She did a whole show on it last week with Dr. Porter. It's called Brain Tap. Now, when I get things like that, I am like, really? I mean, right? You know, because if you're me and you're you, we're like, okay. Mary Jane says, you need to take my Brain Tap and use it. I realize now that there are people like Dr. Porter that literally understand the multidimensional nature of what anxiety needs to be calmed. And I'm telling you, I don't go through a day without putting my brain tap on and going through one of the device meditations. Now, why do I do that? I need tools. Mm-hmm. Carolyn probably needs tools. You've provided her for a lifetime where she can rise up. She can be bold, not belittled.
I use mental illness, and this is what I've been scolded for, and this is how you started your show. I don't hesitate to say my children have mental illness, because what they have above and beyond mental illness is perseverance and strength of character to stand up for what they believe in. And if nothing else, that is the greatest gift that they will take forward in their own right, because they know who they are and they know what they want. As God is my witness, I couldn't give children any more than that.
Yeah. Well, I want to honor your journey, and I want to thank you. I can't thank you enough for coming on here today, but I also want you to let folks know, one, how do we help you? How do we support you? How do we find you? How do we follow you? How do we do all that? How do we ask you questions? Because if anybody's listening to this show that is struggling, they need to come to you. What are the best ways for people to do that? And how do we support your campaign?
People can reach me through mentalillnessiowa@gmail.com. People can reach me at 515-771-5255. I will offer them any free time they need to share a story, and we will develop a plan, as I have done for parents sending kids to college, for a plan B, and across the board to get them into schools. Schools are so difficult today. Kate Kaplan, Health and Life Coach, I am going forward and going to put more of my videos and interviews online so that there's more to resonate with. Billy Bobo is going to be someone I'm going to approach to get online.
And
I have a woman in Winnipeg who works. I mean, there's just a myriad of people that we can come together and
gotta keep talking.
Just like this, Dr. Pat.
Gotta keep talking.
And the beauty of you and I being able to go back and forth is a divine moment today, and I can't thank you enough.
Oh, it's an honor for me. And here's what I want everybody to know.
Support me.
We have to support Kate, because what we're doing is we're not just supporting Kate. So I want to be really clear about this. The angels in my life that helped me were like Kate. And if there were more people that would realize the state of affairs with mental illness in the United States alone, we need to make sure we don't go silent on this. I can't tell you how silent these Olympic athletes have now gotten, because it is jeopardizing who they are in their careers. We cannot continue to do this. And I want to end with this, Kate. Bold, not belittled.
I honor you, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Man, progressive conversation, everybody. We are hoping that we're going to be able to have an open forum, get questions on this. And as I mentioned to all of you, when we launch on one of our new channels, it will be dedicated.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
Hey, good Thursday to you. Betty Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Well, over on Highway 18 westbound at the I-90, a recent collision partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Looks like around Minneapolis 25. Good thing, though, tow assistance, State Patrol have arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that situation. Also over on Highway 99 northbound, southbound, the First Avenue South Bridge has been closed due to boat traffic, so drivers should anticipate a 20 to 30 minute delay there. That's on Highway 99 northbound, southbound at the First Avenue South Bridge. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Unapologetically Favored with Courtney Kitchell. Walk in your purpose. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Wall Street stocks are well into the green today during midday trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose by more than 580 points at times today. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ are also up more than 1%. As the search continues for Brian Laundrie, a candlelit vigil is being planned for his fiancée Gabby Petito tomorrow night. Lisa G reports.
Shine a light for Gabby is set for 7 p.m., with organizers asking for a $20 donation for a candle, with proceeds being donated to Gabby's family. The 22-year-old's body was found Sunday in a national forest in Wyoming, and the medical examiner has declared her death a homicide.
Congressional Democrats in the White House have agreed on a framework to pay for the $3.5 trillion social spending bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer made the announcement during a briefing with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I have a brief sentence, and that is the White House, the House, and the Senate have reached agreement on a framework that will pay for any final negotiated agreement.
Democrats have also called it a human infrastructure bill. Democratic moderates and progressives have been squabbling over the scale of spending in the bill. Pelosi said it includes paid family and medical leave and child care assistance. She said she's confident the bill will pass, along with a $1.2 trillion infrastructure measure. We may have the next major hurricane in the Atlantic by the end of the week. Tropical Storm Sam is churning away, and Dr. Jack Bevins with the National Hurricane Center says we could be talking about a hurricane very soon.
We are anticipating significant strengthening over the next several days. We're forecasting Sam to become a hurricane tomorrow, and it could become a major hurricane or be near that intensity by the end of the weekend.
Dr. Bevins says Sam is too far out in the Atlantic to know what impacts might be felt in Florida. He says 2021 has been particularly busy and that it's unusual to have 18 named storms by this point in the season. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at Alternative Talk's weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see some patchy morning fog, but don't worry, it'll burn off to mostly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures on the cooler side, though, 65, 66 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to about 52. For Friday and for Saturday, more sunshine expected. High temperatures in the low 70s. Saturday night to Sunday, we'll see more clouds arriving and a chance of showers. High temperatures around 65.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for inspirational, motivational, purpose-driven conversation with Courtney Cottrell and Dr. Pat Basile. This is Unapologetically Favored, a show where you will learn to be yourself, love yourself, and walk in your purpose without fear or worry. Courtney is a leader of many and a friend to all. She is a passionate speaker, author, and 21-year active duty Master Chief with the United States Navy. Here to show you that obstacles are everywhere. But the moment you stop letting your setbacks define you, you start to see yourself in a brilliant new light. Find your confidence, own your power, and never apologize for who you are. Unapologetically Favored starts now.
I'm going to start us off because I get to do this show with the most incredible Courtney Cottrell. Unapologetically Favored is Courtney's show. I just want to be very clear. I get to do and take these journeys because it is so much more powerful when two people are gathered. Today, you need to have two people gathered, minimally, because it's about owning your power and leveling up. Here's what you should know about Courtney before we get going. One, on a mission. You have to really think about when somebody's show name is called Unapologetically Favored, walk in your purpose. You have to know a couple things. And what you should know about Courtney is step after step after step, inspirational, motivated, purposely driven. This is Courtney serving our country This is Courtney overcoming obstacles. This is a conversation about what does it mean to step up, level up, but more importantly, how to be all of who you are, all of it. How to be it all. How to hold your head up high and still be it all. You know, how to be you. It doesn't matter. You got a few wrinkles. So what? You're you, right? It doesn't matter. This is what today. This is a time where we have got to really look at what Courtney's saying today, and this is what the message is for everybody out there today. Are you ready? Owning your power and leveling up. What does that mean? Courtney Cottrell, it's so great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Yes, this owning your power and leveling up, I did a speaking engagement for a university in Virginia, Old Dominion University, and that was a topic that they gave to me, but that topic, when they gave it to me, they said they had a hard time trying to find somebody to speak to this topic. And when I heard it, I said, oh, my God, this is exactly what I stand for. This is what I believe in, making yourself better each and every day, even if it's just by 1%. Even if today you said, you know what, every time I go outside or I'm somewhere and there's a piece of trash on the floor, I'm going to pick it up and throw it away. It doesn't matter the smallest details, but if there is something that you're going to do in your life every day that's going to just constantly, continually just improve who you are as a person, you will in time, you will go to the next level. Like, it's just, it's huge. And today's topic, owning your power and leveling up, we're going to be covering five different topics within that. And it's, one is just being unapologetic about who you are, just having confidence in who you are, learning how to be more vulnerable, because a lot of people are scared to be vulnerable. And I'm going to share a quote and some information about Brene Brown, who, if you never heard about her, I love her to death. She has a Netflix show on. Please look her up. It is Brene Brown with a B. Then we're going to talk about having humble arrogance that I kind of discovered in a book that I read by Brian Levinson called Shift Your Mind by Brian Levinson. And then at the end, we're just going to ultimately help you find your passion in life. Because once you find your passion, for me, I feel like that's what's going to help you discover your purpose, you know. And we're wanting to empower people to walk in your purpose. But if you don't know what your purpose is, how can you walk in it?
That's right. But I want to tell you something. I want you to comment on it right along and follow these lines right here. You know how I've known, like, there's a purpose for me? When there have been points in my life, and boy, there have been a bunch, where I've been miserable, where I've been down and out,
right,
where I've been trying to live a life, and you're like, what am I got to get up? Am I have to get up and do it? It doesn't mean that I was really clear about what the purpose was. It was an indicator that there was something more out there for me to look
right
at.
Right.
I didn't have you to talk to help me get on track. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, you'd have looked down the pothole I was in, and you'd look down there, and you'd be saying to me, oh, wow, you way down that pothole. I'm not sure. But we're living in a world now where you're bringing forth your expertise. You can't take a person to a place you haven't gone.
Right.
So I want to say that you have gone through these portals, these places we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't you?
Oh, yes. It is so funny to bring that up because, you know, earlier before the show we were talking, I said, you know, I just got back from California last night, and while I was there, I had the chance to sit down and talk to a young lady who worked with me in the past couple of years, and I was just checking on her. She wanted to reach out and just kind of have a mentor session. And we were talking about how it's hard trying to be a part of a group, an organization, a community, a family, when you feel like you don't fit in. And not because of the way you look or, you know, how you style your hair or the color of your skin. It's just that vibe is not there, and or the people that surround you are not the people that have the same mindset that you can actually kind of lean on to guide you to where you want to be in your life, because they've never been there. So I told her over dinner one night, I said, you know, I talk about this in my book, Unapologetically Favorite, as well, where I said, you cannot ask a taxi cab driver, hey, man, you know, I want to be an orthopedist. whatever, a doctor one day. You know, how do I do that? And I'd be like, just go to school. Like, I don't know. Why are you asking me? I can help you get for a living. If you want to be something or if you want to have that success in life, you have to surround yourself with those people so they can spark that flame in you, so they can keep you motivated, so they can keep you intrigued, they can keep training you and showing you things that you don't know. And the more that you know, the more knowledge you gain, you know, the more power you kind of consume, the higher up in your life you'll start to go. But it's all about who you surround yourself with and the relations between you and those people. If they don't know where you're going, where you're coming from, they can't relate to your story, you're going to have a hard time trying to figure out your purpose, because you're going to feel like you don't belong, and that's not it.
You know, I mean, one of the things that I want to talk to you about and really just make it very clear is that what we're talking about here today is available to everyone.
Right.
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 This is probably one of the lessons that I think we get to learn somewhere along the way, that what you're tapping into, Courtney, and what we're talking about here today is available to everyone. I want to ask you about your journey with confidence.
Cool.
And, you know, vulnerability is so important to talk about.
Oh, yes.
But when something goes on, I think it was maybe like a flip of a switch, I don't know, but you find yourself standing in a place of power you've never been before. How did that happen for you?
So for me, it took a long time for me to be confident. Because as a kid growing up, I was really skinny. I didn't have any friends. I got picked on. I even got bullied. And I remember one morning being at the bus stop, and there was a young girl. She was like the rough girl in the neighborhood. And she picked on me so much that I got scared, and I walked away from the bus stop. The bus showed up, and I kept walking home because I didn't want to get into a fight. I didn't know how to defend myself. But it takes kind of like reflection on your part to sit down and say, you know what, I have something to offer to this world. When you get to a point in your life where you are like, you know what, I'm tired. Not physically tired, not mentally tired, but you're tired of the thought of, you know, just having to say, or just the intimidation that you allow people to bring onto you. You know, you allow people to intimidate you. You're giving them all your power. They're in control of you and who you are, your emotions and everything else. So I think when people get to that level, and we all know when we get to that level, you know what, I'm fed up. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm taking control. It is what it is. I am who I am. I didn't come here to be your friend. My, you know, my time on this earth is not for me to sit here and just and make you happy, because my life does not revolve around you. You have to make sure that what you want in life is what you want in life. Who you are in life is true and genuine to who you are in life. No more of, you know, trying to change, you know, your laugh because somebody doesn't like it. No more trying to dress a certain way because it'll get you more attention. No more of hiding who you truly are because you're scared if you put yourself out there being vulnerable, then you're going to get rejected or talked about or shamed. At a certain point in our lives, we just get to that point where we're tired. And we stop caring about all that. So I did that while I was in the military, and that is after I had like a kind of a mental breakdown, I would say, that I said, you know what, why am I allowing people to drag me down this far in my life? I am better than this. This is not what my presence on this earth is supposed to be about. And I said, no more. After that, when I started owning who I was, when I started owning my truth and my story and realizing, you know, I'm not supposed to be like anybody else but myself. Everybody else is taken. When I started owning that, nobody could stop me. Nobody could tell me anything. Because it was, I am who I am. Either you like me or you don't. And like I tell everybody that I work with, you know, I'm like, I'll get paid on the first and the 15th regardless.
Oh, my God. Listen, we're going to take a short break, Courtney. When we come back, you're going to hear from Courtney, unapologetically favored, Courtney Cotroz. You're going to hear a conversation that builds upon everything she just said. And it has to do with what I call the owning, the owning. You know, there's something fundamental that we all learn in the training. We all learn this whenever you go to leadership training, you've ever been part of everything. There's some consultant that will come in and, like, make you responsible for something and hopes you will own it? Can we own our own power? Can we stand tall? Can we do this in the face of the naysayers? The I can't, you shouldn't. Who do you think you are? When we come back, Courtney Cashel is going to take us on a journey with this, because if you, not you, who are you?
Right.
Take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Enough of I Have Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. I Have Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
And we are back on Unapologetically Favored with me, your host, Courtney Cottrell, and Dr. Pat. And today we're discussing how to own your power and level up. And before we went to break, we were just kind of speaking about the confidence piece and what that truly means. And now we're kind of rolling into, like, owning, as Dr. Pat said before we left. And that owning piece, you know, it can be really, really heavy. Because whenever you own who you are, you have to be in touch and understand and know exactly who you are. And sometimes if you've had a traumatic experience in life, if you've had a setback in life, if you have had a situation where you were probably vulnerable and you have to feel hurt, you know, it's hard to own that. Because you have to face it. You have to face that reality. And it can be very hard, but the breakthrough of that owning It's saying, you know what, this happened. I can't change it. I am better for it because now I am stronger. I have learned the lesson. I came through. I can use this test as a testimony for someone else. And you kind of, your power is amplified because no longer will you allow that same situation to happen to you again. You have the power to say no. You have the power to say, I will not. You will have that power to say, this is who I am, and I don't care if you don't like me. So that owning is truly, truly huge.
Yeah. It's so funny because it shows up in so many places. Let's just get a real typical situation. Just common everyday stuff where your confidence could get shot right in your arm, just get deflated. And, you know, if you're around people that are generally non-supportive, and I highly encourage you that if you are, like, what you want to do is not be around those folks.
Right. Oh my God.
But every once in a while, somebody will say something, and it makes you think. And so I went through this not too long ago. This is not the color of my hair. And most people think it is. They think, okay, she just got old. And so like, that's her hair. And so I let my hair grow out before I did it again. And it grew out. And you could see it's dark, right? And I was talking to a friend of mine here, you know, hairstylist friend of mine. And I was just like, do you think I should do it? And she said, well, Pat, what is going on with you? I said, I don't know, she said, listen to me, girl. You need to own it. And then she showed me what that looked like. For 15 minutes, I watched her. Mm-hmm. And she said, what is it that allowed you, Pat? This is my hair stylist, consultant, counselor person. I gave her a big tip, too. She said, what got beyond your shield, your warrior shield? What got in? And I said, you know, I know what it is. I allowed myself to not remember the truth of who I am.
Right.
And we are going through times right now, and especially with social media, where people will be convinced that they are less than. Help us understand we're not less than, if you don't mind, Courtney.
Oh, yeah. So you can't have that mindset. And, you know, I am, for anybody that has met me in person and, you know, talked to me, they know that I love social media, but I feel like it can do more harm than good. But it all goes back for me and to that confidence piece because, you know, we all want to fit in. We all want to feel like we're being, you know, a part of something big, and that human sense of belonging, connecting with something or someone. And, you know, when I was talking about Brene Brown, I love her because she just, it's everyday thought process, it's everyday conversation, stories that she tells that anybody and everybody can relate to, but we never think about it or process it the way that she explains the stories. And she was talking about, you know, when we fit in as opposed to belong, we tend to just change ourselves a little bit to, you know, squeeze in. So if you take, like, a square and try to put it inside of a circle, we're going to trim the edges to make it fit in, right? Just so that we can just fit in. But we don't belong there because we're not the circle. But sometimes that's what we do. We don't know how to be our true, authentic self because of that fear, that vulnerability piece that keeps coming out, that if I expose who I am, I'm not going to have any control over the feedback that I'm going to receive, and it scares me. And that's how I was. When I was in the Navy, creeping, you know, through the woods, through the people, not wanting nobody to know that I had a girlfriend, you know. So I had a roommate, and every time we would have a lunch gathering or a work social gathering, she was always my roommate because I was scared. One, don't ask, don't tell was really real. So I didn't want to lose my job, but I didn't know. I was scared to be vulnerable. I was scared to expose myself because I didn't know the reaction that I would get from other people. Now today, it's not that I'm scared. I don't care what the reaction is I'll get from people. So that's that growth. That's that owning your power, knowing who you are, being authentically you and unapologetic about who you are. That is that. That's that piece you get from that. You're scared because you're worried about what somebody's going to say, to the place in life where you don't care any longer about what somebody has to say about you because you're confident in who you are as a person.
You know, thank you so much. First of all, thank you so much for talking about your journey and to really giving us, all of us, and giving the people out there, you know, an understanding of what it really looks like to stand up in your power and an up level.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to really own a power and up level. And what I'm really struck by is that sometimes we hear things, or Brene Brown, or, you know, one of my mentors is Les Brown. And, okay. you know, so, I mean, I don't get away with nothing around Mr. Brown. But I will tell you this, it's so important when somebody reflects you and gives you an opportunity to rise up. Mm-hmm. And what you just shared is just one situation of what people go through every day to try to hide their authentic selves.
Right.
It hurts. It's painful.
And it's tiring.
It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And the body feels it. I mean, Courtney, the body feels it.
It takes a mental and a physical toll to hide, to continuously hide, because you're always on guard. You're always on a defense. You're so tense because you're scared and you're trying to hold this secret and keep it locked in. You don't want anything to spill out, so you can't relax. Your mind can't relax. You know, trying to put on a front, you know, just to, so that you can fit in with a group of people or an organization or a society or, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to fit in, it is very exhausting. It is very exhausting. And it's not until you realize, like, how long you've been doing it, or even the fact that you have been doing it, it's not until you realize then and you stop and you're like, oh, my God, why was I doing this? And the peace, the mental peace, that just being confident, just relaxing, stop caring, giving all your energy and all your power to other people. When you pull it back and you own your power, oh, my goodness, that peace is just, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's a great feeling. I can tell you that. It's a great feeling.
It is a great feeling. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to talk about this throughout the show, because once you walk through that door, and I want to ask you this question about it. You know, my experience was, And there's a whole range of things where I had to really step up, level up. I had to, it's just a whole bunch of things that I had to really face myself over and over and over again. But the feeling, that sense of freedom where you just made, you chose for yourself that pathway to your authentic inner truth, is so hard to explain, the sense of freedom. And let me ask you this question too. I don't know about you, but once I've gone through one of those portals, there's no going back.
Oh, no. Why would you go back? Like, no.
Or you're scared. You go back. You go back because you get scared. You know, you get scared. I was talking with Kate about mental illness, and I referenced Simone Biles. And I referenced Simone because she came out bold. And now, you know, if you're watching some of these athletes that have spoken out,
mm-hmm.
you know, recently the court trials about abuse, and mm-hmm. you see them speak out, what we're not talking about is the underpinning of what happens when people do come forth in truth. But you're talking about it because you work with people to help them through that journey.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I got a lot of support in my life.
Oh, yes. When you talk about mental health, that is like, I actually had this question asked me when I was in California. The lady said, well, you know, did people talk about mental health when you first came into the Navy? And I said, no, nobody didn't. It was taboo, because how dare you have an issue. If you can't do this job, then maybe this job isn't for you. if you can't succeed, and I explained this story, I don't know where it came from, but this is how I describe mental health to people. In life, everybody has a bag, right? Your bag might be a little bit bigger than mine or a little bit smaller than mine, but you have a bag, I have a bag, we all have bags. And as we go through our journey in life, we fill this bag with experiences, emotions, relationships, family, friends, networks, organizations, all the things that we encounter on this journey in our life. Some people are strong enough to sit this bag down and recognize when they no longer need the things that are in this bag. They can discard this relationship, this bad friendship, this family member, this job, this whatever. They can say, this is no longer serving its purpose in my life, and they can take the things out their bag, spring cleaning, so to speak, pick this bag up and continue on that journey without being weighed down, without being tired, because now their bag is just a little bit lighter. They can continually add and grow from their experiences. Some people are not as self-aware or strong enough or have enough support for somebody to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I think you need to put this bag down. Yeah. Let me help you go through your bag and discard the things that you no longer need because you are being weighed down in life.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who don't have that support, those people who don't have that self-awareness, that emotional IQ, that self-reflection, those are the ones that are suffering. Those are the ones that are committing suicide. Those are the ones that are turning to drugs, abuse, anger, whatever it is, alcohol, you know, because they don't have that support system. They don't know how to do it by themselves. And I was there in my life at one point.
Yeah, that's why you and I could talk about it. Because we're not talking about, you know, some academic, you know, thing we pulled off the shelf.
Right.
You know, we're here, and you know, to talk about this in a beyond an authentic way. Why?
Right.
Because this is about helping others. You know, this is about standing on the shoulders of those that have come before so that others perhaps can stand on our shoulders as we move forward. Courtney, we're going to take a short break. But before we do, how do people find out about you? Tell them how that we can connect with you on social media. And how do people work with you directly?
So I am on every social media platform. You can find me on Facebook at Courtney A. Cottrell, and you will see Unapologetically Favorite radio podcast page pop up. Also on Instagram, I am Unapologetically C-A-K, Charlie Alpha Kilo for my military people. And if you go on Twitter, just look up Courtney, K-I-T-T-R-E-1, and you will find my Unapologetically Favorite page on there as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we're just warming up. When we come back, we're going to talk about something. How do you respond when somebody responds to your level of confidence? Maybe as arrogance. Maybe as intimidating. How many times somebody say, oh, man, you know, like, I'm intimidated of you. Have you ever heard those words? And then have you ever tried to back away? Have you tried to readjust yourself? When we come back, we're going to tell you what that is about.
Oh, yes.
Because I'll tell you what, if you're not living in the space of who you are, you are going to wear out every muscle in your legs from trying to run from yourself. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit youarepurepotential.com for more info.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater?
Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you've nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Can't get enough of I Have Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. I Have Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Back on Unapologetically Favored. I am your host, Courtney Cottrell, and I'm here with the beautiful and the one and only Dr. Pat. And before I love this, right? Girlfriend conversation. And before we, you know, we went to the break, we were talking about, you know, the arrogance, and have you ever been called out or tried to, you know, dim your light so somebody else's light could shine because they were intimidated by your arrogance? And I know for me, I do remember there was a time when I was a junior in the military, and we have boards, like, you're the sailor of the quarter, you're the sailor of the month type thing, and you put on your dress uniform, you do a uniform inspection, and you go in front of a panel of all these senior military people, and they ask you questions, and it could be anything from today's most current events to, I don't know, something related to the military. And I was always, you know, this is after I have had, like, that mental breakdown, and I've had that breakthrough, and I was just at that point where I was like, no more, learning how to say no, I'm not caring what people thought. So I walk into the board, I do my presentation, I sit at the table, they're asking me questions, and I remember after the board, I thought I did pretty well. You know, internally, yes, I was dying on the inside. You know, the senior people, they kind of were intimidating because you have all these men that at the time, it's so heavy full of men. And my feedback from that board was not, hey, good job, you know, or, you know, let me, you know, your board presentation wasn't that well. They told me I did not win that board because I was too cocky and I was too arrogant. And I paused for a second because I'm like, but that's not my nature. Like, anybody who knows me knows that I am just a people person. I love people. I love having fun. I always talk. I never meet a stranger. So I was just like, was I really cocky, or were they kind of intimidated by my presence? Because sometimes people can be intimidated by your presence.
Yeah.
And that's their putting their fear or their intimidation on you, or, you know, making you, you know, tone yourself down so that they don't feel so intimidated. So they kind of, like, try to dim your light a little bit. You were too cocky, you were too arrogant. I'm like, that is not, what? I don't care.
Yeah, I love the expression that gets used sometimes. I don't know if anybody's ever said it to you, but, you know, we just have to put you back in your place.
Oh,
what?
Ooh.
Oh, you're going to, we just have to put you back in your place a little bit.
Fighting words.
Those are fighting words, and they're confusing. And look, I have been in this arena really advocating and fighting for women's rights for as long as I can remember being young. And if I had a dime for every time a comment like that was made to myself, to the people, Bella Abza, Gloria Steinem, the people that I was on the streets with at that time, right? But what is behind that message, Courtney? See, this is what we need to talk about today. You know, build up that level of resilience within us and understand the absolute truth of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So that no matter what somebody says to us or how that is said to us, we know the truth, and then we can choose.
Right.
Then we can choose how to show up in the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, corporate America, working your way up, there are more comments like that. But the work that you're doing is going to establish an incredible baseline for people.
Mm-hmm.
See, we've got to have a strong foundation. If you have a strong foundation, then what comes your way along the way, that's where you continue to build your momentum.
Right.
I bet for you, I mean, I can't imagine somebody like saying something like that to you. People, when I share stories about myself, people are like, no, that did not happen to you. But I'm telling you, we all are in this human skin. And there are times where we see a behavior. Let's talk about some of the people that we see in our pop culture in the world.
Oh, I
want that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, so I was reading this book called Shift Your Mind by Brian Livingston, and I encourage you to read it. I encourage the listeners to go out and buy it. You can find it on Amazon. I found it on Amazon. Came across looking for books to buy. And he talked about having humble arrogance, right? And I love that term so much, because in one of the stories he shares about Kanye West, we all know who Kanye West is, right? It makes so much sense. And also he does a story about Taylor Swift and kind of meshes the stories together. So everybody knows Kanye, right? And we all just think he's just, you know, most people say, oh yeah, he's arrogant. But he knows how to be arrogant and still own his presence. People still show up. They're still intrigued. They want to know what he has going on. He still gathers crowds, but people don't like him because he's arrogant. And he was speaking about a story, you know, back in, I think it was like the VMAs or the Music Awards, whatever it was, and he took Taylor Swift was being, you know, presented with her award, and he just kind of went on the stage and, like, just overpowered her because he thought Beyonce should have won the award and not her. And when Taylor Swift was asked about it, you know, she was just at the point where, you know, she was very humble, she was very quiet, you know, and she just let it happen, and it bothered her. So Brian Levinson talks about this humble arrogance. You know, you have to be arrogant when it's showtime. Be arrogant when it's time for you to present who you are. And I use that when you're given, you know, briefs and meetings and phone calls. Be arrogant. Own yourself. Own your space. Walk into that room and suck out the oxygen. But when the doors close and the meeting is over and the phone calls are done, humble yourself so that you can go back look to see where you can make improvements so that the next time when it's time to show up and show out, you can be better than you were before. But it's all a balancing act when it comes to that, you know, it, that humble arrogance. I love that term so dearly. I do.
I really like it, too. And, you know, I'm really struck by how it shows. It's a beautiful term, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And yet what it does is it honors our journey in confidence. And it honors our journey in power. And I want to get back to that for a minute. And I think it's great if we just go ahead and skip the break. Because one of the things I want to make sure that folks know is that part of taking this journey is also the way you're showing up so you can help others take the journey too.
Right, right.
And, you know, the minute somebody says, if you're not trained, if you're not supported, when a comment is made to you about arrogance, will you coil up? Will you move backwards? Will you be afraid to show yourself? You know, will you do that? Or maybe you'll create a song called I Need a Doctor by Dr. Dre. I mean, what might you do? But this is really the crux of what we're talking about today because, you know, Courtney, what you're doing is you see the need for this. So let's talk a little bit about where you are in this journey, and as you see the need for this, what can you invite people to do with you so that they can rise up in the context of what we're talking about today?
So in my journey along, you know, trying to own who I am, Courtney today is when I tell you I am, so in today's terms, I am unbothered. You know, I'm not as easily moved or easily angered. And a lot of people, you know, it's one of the things I always tell some of the people that I know, is like, I just want to give you my personality. I just want to give you my vibe, my aura, because I have learned that people are going to be who they are. You cannot control them or the situation. You can only control your response to them. And your character and how you handle difficult situations and, you know, how you present yourself means everything. So for me, you know, it took a long time to get here. This was not an overnight transformation at all. This was like years in the making. This came with some dark corners in my life. This came with suicidal thoughts. This came with, you know, just asking, like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Trying to find a little speck of light in the darkness to be that sign to say, no, girl, you got to keep pushing. So today I can stand here and say, you know what, I can relate to what you're going through. You know what, I have been the only one. But you're not the only one, you know, because everybody thinks when you're going through a situation, it's just you going through that situation. Because, again, the exposure, the vulnerability, they don't realize how much vulnerability is a strength and not a weakness, because it takes a lot of courage for somebody to open up and say, you know what, I've been sexually assaulted. You know what, I lost my job. I've been homeless and broke. You know what, I got fired. I didn't go to college and I failed out. It takes a lot. I went bankrupt. It takes a lot for somebody to put themselves out there, you know, and that is a huge, huge strength. But when you do that, you pull all that power out of the atmosphere and you own that power, because now if somebody makes fun of you, you don't care, because I've closed that envelope. Like, it's a sealed deal. You can't bother me with making jokes because I don't really care anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have it's done. So that's where I'm at right now. You know, people can say what they want to say about me, but it's what I answer to, you know, and I have, my mind is just at peace. I don't let things bother me. So you have to get to that point. And it takes a while. It's not an overnight transformation. It's a process.
I'll tell you what. I learned a lot of this by being coached in a sport that was a competitive sport.
Yeah.
And it's like a military.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you have somebody that is coaching you, and you know, maybe this isn't true for everybody, so I don't want to generalize about coaches,
mm-hmm.
but I have experience with several coaches. One of them led me to state championships in this sport, but he never mixed words. Mm-hmm. There was never going to be, let me have a conversation with you. You need to adjust your stroke. But no, he'd be like, what are you doing, Pat? What are you doing? You know, are you going to show up to play today? Or are we going to just show up? You know, where are we going to look at your sneakers? What are we going to do today? And, you know, and I had other coaches. And the good news is my current coach is Korean, so I pretty much get maybe a third of what he's actually saying. But emotionally, I get a third of it, of what I'm doing and not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a purpose to learn something. I have a purpose to excel at something. And we have to decide for ourselves, Courtney, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
As we take this journey, what shoe's going to fit us along the way? But
right.
Let's talk about leveling up, because that right there, that is a term we need to use more often, don't you think?
Oh, yes. I'm all, you know, every day is a new chance, is a new beginning to make right what went wrong the day before. It is an opportunity for you to start what you were scared to do yesterday or to finish what you've been procrastinating on for like the last year. I know for myself, I need to finish like last book four college classes. I've been procrastinating. Oh, my goodness. But leveling up, like taking it to the next level, you know, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your life, whether it's in your relationship, you know, what can you do? What can you self-reflect on or work on when it comes to being unapologetic about who you are, when it comes to having more confidence, being more vulnerable in the open and not caring what the response is going to be or the feedback is going to be, when it comes to balancing your arrogance and knowing when and where to be arrogant and humble at the same time, and just ultimately discovering your purpose, like your purpose in life. Why are you here? Were you supposed to just constantly be working that 9-to-5 job that you don't like? Were you supposed to be, you know, babysitting children that just don't belong to you and you're frustrated? Were you supposed to be in this relationship that you don't feel like it's going anywhere? You know, what is your purpose? What is that one thing that if you had to wake up every day to do it, it would bring a smile on your face and you would never feel like you're working? What is that? So when you put all these things together, when you add them up, you're going to take your life to the next level. You're going to rise up a little bit higher than what you were yesterday. And the response just from that is going to show your attitude, your emotions.
Okay.
People are going to be like, oh, my God, you're different. No, I'm not different. I just grew.
I love we're talking about this. Can I ask you this question? Because every day I discover something about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I was groomed by Mary Louise Smith about this. I know I've got a lot of grooming and a lot of mentors along the way. But, you know, one of the things that I look at is what hits my heart
mm-hmm.
in a way that helps me rise up, and then what hits my heart in a way that gives me a moment to hit pause. See, back in the day, I wouldn't hit pause. I would be, like, stepping back. I'd be like, oh, okay. yeah, and I'm like, where'd she go? Where did Pat go? Go find Pat. But I've gotten to know myself and what
right.
I value.
Right.
And I was talking to Linda the other day, and I said, you know, we have an obligation as a network. And I said, and I studied obligations, which are promises, for 10 years. And I said, well, we have an obligation. We have new people on our team. And our obligation, of course, is to train them and give them the technical skills.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a piece we have to talk about. And that is, we have to talk about the level of trust and confidence all of y'all put in us and
right.
the degree by which you respect us
mm-hmm.
and you honor us. And what I realize is that we have to take time to pass that baton on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
The mentors I've worked with, they passed on a baton of respect. They passed something forward to us.
Right.
And I was talking to Linda and Jessica, and I said, you know, we've got people that have been here for less than 90 days. I wonder if they even know what people think about us that are in the outside world. And Linda said to me something, you know Linda, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Linda's like, well, I don't think they even know about you, what people think about you in the outside world. I mean, does your team even know what it took for you to be in a John Legend music video? And I'm like, you know, we have an obligation to do that. And I think that part of the conversation for me in what we're having is there's a point by which mentorship, especially in the programs you do,
mm-hmm.
and passing that level of baton, that level of conversation, so that people can get an understanding of the depth and breadth of what their future could be about.
Oh, yeah. That's why I am, when people go through things in their lives, when they feel like, you know, they hit a low spot, I tell people, you know, you haven't been buried, you've been planted. And you use the people around you who are coming to you to mentor you, to give you that love and guidance, to just hug you, or to just sit beside you in darkness and silence just because they might not know what words to say or have the right things to say. Let them water you and nurture you, because not everybody has that. But then in turn, as you start to grow, as you start seeing the light, as you come up, you're like, wow, you know? And then it turns into, now you have an obligation to do the same thing for the next one. So that is why I always, you know, say you have to, your test is a testimony. Your mess that you're going through is going to be that message for somebody else. So you can, like you said, let them stand on your shoulders and you hold them up and support them the same way you stood on somebody else's shoulders and they held you up and supported you.
You know, you and I are going to continue this conversation, but your message today is powerful. And it's also a point of self-reflection.
Always, yes.
I mean, this is a time where we get to look ourselves in the mirror. And I'm surrounded by people that ask me questions that make me just like, seriously, you just asked me that question. I had a guy ask me the other day, I was on a phone leadership call, and he said, you don't say very much, but, you know, you talk for a living. I mean, you sit on these calls, are you going to contribute to anything? And I said, well, I'm listening. I'm a good listener. They said, well, I got a question for you. What kind of behavior in an organization do you think completely depletes energy? Oh, I said, that's easy. Complaining and gossip.
Woo.
And I said, complaining and gossip. It is the fuel that will destroy the interior fabric of any organization. I said, by the way, I'm an expert to help you at it. Want to hire me?
Otherwise, you can't leave me.
Maybe that's another show. But you understand.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
That if you're standing in your confidence and you're standing in the power, you don't need to gossip. You don't need to complain. You're going to take the conversation to the person.
Right.
But you said, oh, yeah, you know this. I do not think the military really tolerates much of any one of those two things.
Well, you'd be surprised.
I would be surprised. But I'll tell you, my buddy Les Brown, I know he doesn't tolerate it. Courtney, thank you for today. Please tell folks how they can work with you. Let them know what's coming up. And again, what's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
Yes. I love this so much, the open conversation. Thank you for letting me do this and share my message, give me a platform. You can find me on Facebook under Courtney A. Cottrell, or you can also type in Unapologetically Favored. I'm also on Instagram as Unapologetically C-A-K. And, yeah, if you click on any one of those links, you'll probably find all the rest of my links. I have too many to name. But you can also find me on Amazon. I have 2 books out, and I have a 3rd one coming, hopefully, by the end of this year. So please reach out to me. Send me an email or see my contact, and I will respond. And it has been fun. You know, I think, you know, we talked about, like, the question to ask. What would be one of your closing remarks? What would you say?
What would I say?
What would you say?
Whatever you think you are, you're more than that.
Thanks for tuning in to Unapologetically Favored. When you stop worrying about what others think and start walking in your purpose, you allow yourself to grow, you discover all the gifts you have to offer the world, and everything begins to shift from uncertainty to possibility. Can't get enough? Unapologetically Favored is also a book. Bring home a copy and learn more about Courtney by visiting unapologeticallyfavored.com. We will see you right here next time. And until then, keep walking in your purpose.
views expressed on this program are the host, guests, and callers.